Hello and welcome to Launching the Pilot with your hosts Brian and Kevin.
Pilot episode 365, and this time we're doing The Fugitive, which is 1963 to 1967, 120 episodes, 4 seasons. This episode is called Fear in a Desert City.
Yeah.
I thought it was Desert City, but they disappointed me massively. There's not even one dessert in this.
No. Come on down to Pudding Town. I used to watch The Fugitive.
Yeah.
And obviously, I don't remember anything about it, but I remember the programme itself.
I remember it being on. I don't remember anything about any particular episode. I'm not even sure I remember there was a one-armed man until the film came out.
No, I remember the one-armed man bit and things like this because I remember when they said that they were making it.
Yeah.
And it was, bloody hell, Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jackson.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones. Yes. I remember watching this because I used to watch Harry O as well, which was David Janssen.
Oh, right. Okay.
But it was a few years later. He was a detective or something there, or private investigator there in that. But I remember watching this. And again, I don't remember anything about the episodes. It seemed to me to be a bit... They had a thing in America which was like the old kung fu thing.
Yeah.
Each episode was an individual story.
It's wandering somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's going to solve this problem in this town this time. Yeah.
That's it. But it's like this, that we, you know, when I watched the first one, it seemed a bit incomplete and it seemed like you jumped in feet first.
You really did.
Absolutely. But then when you found the unaired version and watched that, you get an extra sort of like 10 minutes or so.
Yes.
Which is at the beginning, which makes everything else.
Yeah. This is what it needed. It needed that extra 30 minutes.
Although I knew, again, I know the story.
Yeah.
It's the first 10 minutes being missing. You lose a lot of the.
Yeah.
It makes it apparent that everything else he says is true.
True, yes.
Whereas before it was ambiguous. He said, you know, it's this bloke that's running away saying, I didn't do it. He said, well, join the club, mate.
Yeah.
Prisons are full of people who didn't do anything.
That's right.
But, you know, a bit like Shawshank, you actually see.
Yes. See, he didn't do it.
And then, obviously, he is on the run.
Yes.
I do remember enjoying it.
Yeah. No. But I thought this was pretty good. This first.
It was very good.
From 1963, I expected, it's going to be a bit, so I'm going to just chuckle at because it's ridiculous. But no. It kept me entertained. I was very entertained all the way through this. I thought it was very good.
it was a typical first episode.
Yes.
In that it sort of like it tried to flesh out the characters a little bit. And it's like, you know, times must have been easy back then that they could be a whole police department that had nothing to do except
but that's just man.
Look
for
him. But it's like, and it's the... it's the captain, isn't it, who's saying about this lieutenant and saying, you know, how he's the best person in the world. He's the one person in the world you wouldn't want chasing you. Yeah. I think, well, hang on a second, I know it ran for 4 years, so it can't have been that good. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yes, we are.
So if we talk about the unaired pilot.
The unaired bit, because... Yeah. Obviously, we watched the aired version first, thinking that was the first. And then I stumbled across the unaired version. after I'd finished watching this one.
Yes, yes.
I think I took some little notes.
I took a few notes.
Just very basic stuff. His wife is in the hospital giving birth. Is it a boy or girl? It's a son, but you know, he can't tell her. He's a doctor, but he finds it hard to tell her that it was stillborn.
It's quite a difficult conversation. You know, obviously it's a difficult conversation.
Yeah.
And the thing is, but again, you come into this bit not knowing anything about them. This is the very first thing that you know.
Yes.
And there was something wrong, which meant that she was physically incapable of having children.
Yeah, I think while they were in there, they whipped out all the bits.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Well, you don't need this anymore.
Yeah.
Well, God. But
there were some complications, and it looked like she was going to die unless they did.
Yes, that's what they did. Yeah, unless they sort of like took drastic action, which is what they've done.
Yeah.
So he explains this to her, and then we sort of like. We cut from there to a few months later.
Yeah. Dinner time. Let's go out to dinner.
Yeah, they're going out to dinner, so they're getting ready, but they're both drinking.
Yeah.
She's
drinking a bit more.
Yes. Yeah. And they have a few crosswords with each other.
It's an argument. I mean,
it is an argument.
She doesn't want to adopt.
It's a pretty weak argument.
Yeah, no,
it's
a pretty weak argument. Because it won't be hers, she's saying. I thought,
No, that's it. As arguments go, there's
absolutely.
Hey, you look wonderful.
Thank you, Dad. You're very gallant. And I might say the same for you.
Now that we've bolstered each other's egos, what do you say we do something about our appetites?
Good. Where to tonight?
There's a little seafood house that Carter was telling you about. That's good food, huh?
When did you see Ross Carter?
Helen, let's not spoil tonight, huh?
The great Ross Carter of the Clinic for Planned Parenthood.
Like we merely discussed the possibility.
Forget it, Richard. For the last time, I won't live a lie.
I'm not so far away. You have to scream it.
I'll scream all I want.
Helen, why do you keep thinking of adoption as a lie?
Because it is. I wouldn't be its mother.
Every year, thousands of people.
I don't care if a million people lie to themselves. If I can't have a child, I won't have one.
You won't. Your tragedy. Look, he was my son, too. Doesn't that mean anything to you?
It means I'm going to have another drink. We have lots of glasses, Richard.
I'm not sure of the time frame, how long after this is.
I think it said 3 or 4 months after.
Yeah.
But I honestly don't know.
So she won't be ready to think about adoption yet. No,
no.
Give her a couple of years.
Yeah. But, that's right. Because the thing is, isn't she a teacher or something?
I'm not 100% sure.
I'm getting confused because I watched something else the other day, which was... The background was very, very similar. So I don't know what I'm thinking of this one and what I watched the other day. I can't even remember what I watched the other day, but I just remember there was... it doesn't matter anyway.
She was a master welder, so...
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, yeah. Did she dance in nightclubs of an evening?
Just to earn some extra money during the nights.
So they have an argument. He jumps in the car.
Yes, and drives off.
Drives off
for a good think.
Proper think. And he goes and he pulls up and he's sitting. He gets goes over this bridge. Yeah. He pulls up in the parking area and he's sitting watching the kid fishing off a boat.
That's right, he does, yeah.
Now
you can see it's a little bit longing for kids himself, I think, as well.
Yeah, that's right, because you can see he's sort of like smiling as he sees this kid. And then it looks like he's going to talk to him for a minute, but then he stops himself, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
And then he's big mistake, as it turns out. But anyway, he stops himself.
Yeah.
And he gets back in the car, and you can see he's sort of like, he's gone over it, and he's saying, look, you know, you can see that he's got a bit of remorse about having the argument and things like this. And it's just, now his head's clear.
He wants to
go back, smooth things over, we'll sort things out.
Maybe a box of milk tray, pick that up on the way.
Yeah, absolutely, That's it, the old smoothie. Some flowers from the garage.
Yeah. Always work.
Maybe a set of jump leads.
Extension lead. Always need extension lead. Can never have enough of them.
Absolutely you do. Absolutely you do. Yep, it's my mantra. But yeah, so he's driving off. And there's been quite some passage of time because it's dark.
It's very dark.
So anyway, he's driving home.
Yeah.
And then you see somebody run out the front of a house.
Yeah.
They cross the garden.
Yeah.
And run right in front of him, and he has to slam his brakes on.
They does, yeah.
And they sort of like, they land up on the bonnet, and then look staring into the window, but you see that he's.
He's counting the arms. Left arm. One.
Yeah.
No, that's it. I'm done.
Is there any distinguishing features? The flapping, the sleeve flapping in the breeze.
Yeah.
But So, and this seems to go on quite uncomfortably long.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
It's like it's a good, 10 seconds?
Yeah, it's a good close-up, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, very close-up, staring into the camera as if he's staring through the windscreen. Then he runs off again.
Yeah, this guy's coming from his house, isn't he? Coming from the direction of his house.
Yeah, but that's what I can't understand. Well, it's one of a lot of things that I can't understand, but anyway. So, he's seen him come out of, or come from his house.
Yeah.
Nearly run him over.
Yeah,
and he's got no idea who this bloke is.
Yeah, but he's a bit worried, isn't he? Because he rushes out the car. Now, obviously, in today's society, it would say Amazon. What's he ordered now?
Absolutely, yeah. Deliveroo, Uber Eats, or whoever. Anyway, so he then sort of proceeds to drive up to his house.
Yeah,
gets out the car. Goes into the house and finds his wife
dead.
Yeah. The place is a mess.
He doesn't check her pulse or anything. I thought he was the doctor.
No. But, he's just sort of like standing there, sort of like pulling anguished faces.
Yes.
Then the next thing you know, he's in court.
Yes.
And
they're going about, the neighbours up there testifying that they always had arguments and...
I know, but that's the thing. They must have some pretty big arguments because and also the fact that it's an American house and there's probably about 20 yards between the two houses. Yeah.
They're not built right on top of each other.
No. Yet the neighbours still knew they had arguments.
So you clearly had the glass against the wall, you know.
Yeah.
24/7.
But then also we had a bloke that was driving along behind him.
Yeah.
Who saw him nearly hit?
Yes, the
one armed bloke had come running out of his house and completely ignored him.
Yeah.
It just sort of like, you must have been seeing things, but why?
Yeah.
But by the by.
Anyway.
And
the boy.
This is.
They had the boy. They got the boy who was fishing. They found him.
Said, I was fishing there.
But I didn't see anyone.
Yeah. But you think, hang on a second. If it's that far away from his house. Yeah. And he says, I saw a boy in a boat on this lake fishing, and he was fishing until approximately this time, or I left at this time, and he was still there.
Yeah, he knew he was there,
Yeah, and it's just sort of like, there's got to be an element of doubt creeping in somewhere. Yeah. But
he didn't have Johnny Cochran on the side, that's for sure, did he?
No, that's it, he certainly didn't.
And they said about the one-armed man, and... They couldn't find him. No. We spoke to many one-armed men, and it couldn't possibly have been them.
None of them could possibly have done this. Yeah. Just, right, okay.
Immediately following the homicide, and over a period of 10 days thereafter, my office interrogated a total of 83 men of such description.
And what were your findings?
That none of them could possibly have been in the vicinity when the crime took place.
Then, Lieutenant Gerard, with your reputation as one of the most brilliant police officers in the state, you were forced to conclude that there never was a one-armed man.
Objection. Objection.
Sustained. I order that stricken from the record. I must warn you, Mr. Rand, you are familiar with the proceedings of this court, and I expect you to abide by them.
So, yeah, then we basically get to the bit that the original program starts.
Yeah.
Which is they're on the train.
Yeah, they're on the train, yeah.
Because he's been convicted of murder, and he's been told that he's going to be executed.
Death row. And he says, well, and you get the narrator, don't you?
Yeah.
Is it who's the narrator? Oh, I did write it down.
It's Raymond Burr.
I've got William Conrad as Frank Cannon.
Oh no, yeah. It is William Conrad.
He did loads of writing.
Cannon, yeah. I mean, Frank Cannon. He was aptly named because he was the shape of a cannonball.
but he used to run off them criminals. Something, you know. Oh no, he didn't.
He never got out of the car.
No, he didn't. But anyway,
he does narration, doesn't he?
And then, does. He says my feet was on his side or something.
Yeah, that's right. And then they're on the train. He's being transported to the prison where he's going to be executed.
And it's got Barry Morse with him.
I know, that's the thing as well. And you know, when you're looking at somebody and you think, I know you.
Yeah.
And then I looked it up and I looked up his name and it's Barry Morse. I said, oh, bloody hell. Yeah, he used to be in everything.
Yeah.
Literally everything.
Space 1999.
that's the main one that I remember.
That's the one I remember most. But Victor.
But yes.
He was in there.
Yeah.
But Lieutenant Gerard.
Yeah. So he's escorted him.
Yeah.
Then there's a train crash.
Yes.
The train derails.
Yeah.
And
we get an extended bit on this, don't we, on this unaired pilot.
That's right, yeah. So they must have had stock footage of a train crash or something.
They actually took it from a movie, The Young at Heart.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. Which is a light comedy, apparently. I'm not sure how a train crash comes into that, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, that fits. Didn't know that, but yeah. So, and then this is one of the things that really sort of stood out for me. I can only assume that he was handcuffed to a chair.
yeah, because the handcuffs are all twisted, not his one. The one that he was connected to. So it couldn't have been Lieutenant Gerard. Otherwise, he would have been the one-armed man.
His hand would have still been on it. And then
it must have been a rail also. Not a rail, you know, a chair arm or something.
Armrest or something. Armrest,
that's the word I couldn't find.
So,
I'm no detective.
What would you call the sort of thing where you've got an arm, you know, where you can put your arm to rest it? But you see him, he's climbing out of like a really shallow river or something, and he's leaning on a barrier.
Yeah.
And you see the handcuff dangling there from his wrist, and it's all bent and twisted.
Yeah.
And then we go into... He's basically, it's 3 months later or something. And
he does the bit where he goes to a petrol station or something, a gas station, I suppose, as you'd say in America. And he smashes the window, he gets a file, he jumps on the train, he's on the lam. Right. That's it. Yeah. Then we start.
3 months later and he's getting off a bus.
Oh, no, sorry, he jumps into the back of a lorry, sorry. But it doesn't matter. He gets away from the area.
Yes. He exits stage left.
Yes.
Not pursued by a bear.
Bear.
Then he's getting off a bus. This is another incongruous thing, but he books into a hotel.
We should point out this important bit. It's a Quinn Martin production.
It is a Quinn Martin
production. But they didn't say Quinn Martin, they say QM production. I thought, well, just give him his name.
I know. That's it. And I think it was the 70s when Quinn Martin were seventies and early 80s.
Yeah, Streets of San Francisco and all that.
That's when they were Quinn Martin. They weren't QM then.
The Invaders, which I remember you saying you never heard of.
I think, Kojak.
Kojak, it's all them types, weren't it? Yeah.
Yeah, Streets of San Francisco.
It's the big one.
I think wasn't Quincy one of theirs as well?
Probably.
Yeah, but anyway, So
6 months he's been James Lincoln.
Yeah, because he's got some false paperwork from somewhere, hasn't he? He said, you know, he'd used his contacts or whatever and got... Because he's a doctor.
He's a doctor, he is a doctor.
He's a paediatrician.
Yes.
So then, yeah.
And you get a voiceover all the time, you know, when the bus stops and he cuts out and it's a hotel. Yeah. Is this a safe hotel? Is this going to be the last stop? Or it's all this type of stuff.
Yeah. And again, harking back to a different program, it's a bit like sometimes the woman in Quantum Leap.
Yes, yeah. Will he ever find his way home?
Yeah, exactly. It's all that, and it's all with the catch in the voice and everything, and it's just sort of like never knowingly under egg the pudding.
Yeah.
And then he dyes his hair black, and I know full well. David Janssen had black hair.
Yeah, I mean, they made him look grey
tried greying him up, and it looked awful.
Awful, it did.
It was absolutely... It's like somebody had painted white stripes.
It looked
on his head.
A comic book character.
He did. And his hair was all sort of like sticking up and everything like that, wasn't it? It was like a proper old brush cut, but it was literally like someone had just put white stripes in his hair to make him look grey. So his hair's back to normal.
He has some 2000
bottle of black dye for later in the program.
Yeah, you make a good point of showing the black dye and that. I thought, okay, I guess he'd have a black dye for changing.
but we don't
need to linger on it, surely.
No, that's right. And the bottle's labelled black dye.
Yeah, it is. Can I have some of that dye? Which one? The black one?
You're just for men. Can you make it a bit more obvious, please?
This one could have been for women as well, because it just says black dye on it.
Absolutely. But then he's got four or five papers.
Yes.
He's going through them. He's looking at the help wanted.
Yes, column. He is.
And he's circling jobs.
There is a little bit where we cut to Lieutenant Gerard, who's got a big board with an X on it. That's where he is.
And
we get a bit of back and forth about, well, why are you so obsessed with this man finding him? Do you think he could be innocent?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's my job.
I enforce the law.
I am the law, I've written.
Yeah.
Obey.
Yes, there's no dread.
No,
but he's that's also the thing, isn't it? It's like it must have been one of their the earliest uses of it.
Yeah.
But it's like they've got a big board and things like that. But when the camera's looking at them, they're looking for a sheet of glass, and it's got the map and everything on the sheet.
Yeah.
And he's got a thing in the. So like up near New York and that, he's got a circle with an X in it. He says, I'm betting he's here.
Yeah.
So, the thing is, we already know he's not. He's right down there. He's down in
Nowhere
Arizona.
Nowhere near there.
Arizona. Then we get back to it, and he's
happy.
Got a job.
I've got happy time temp. And I did make a note of the other adverts. You couldn't read them because of... 1963 TV, but I did get get the headlines. So, Man Wanted was one. Well, that's handy. All right. Advertising Man Wanted. Draftsman Wanted.
What's that, to lay down at the bottom of the doors?
And a bartender wanted, wasn't it? And it's the branding iron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's... And this is, I think I can quite safely say, the worst place to have a drink in the world.
I would ever. Not go in there.
No. It's not like it's rough or anything like that. No. Just sort of like, I don't know about sort of like, if that was the front for a euthanasia clinic,
yeah.
I think it'd be perfect. Yeah. Because if you didn't want to kill yourself when you walked in, you certainly would before you left.
And I think this is in some sort of hotel as well, so it's probably...
I get the impression that this is supposed to be like Vegas. This is like a big gambling
it could have been. There seemed to be something going on in the background, didn't there?
Yeah. But the thing is, it's like, we get the bar. There's about, what I would say, about 10 people drinking in there.
Yeah.
And one of them is... Again, he's a really, really famous actor. He was in so many
things.
He was always a similar character.
Always the baddie. Always the heavy.
Yeah, always the baddie.
Antagonist.
Usually had a cowboy hat and but not, you know. But anyway, yeah, so...
Because I looked him up and I thought, I can't remember any of this stuff. But I know you. I mean, he has done... When I looked up on IMDb, it said, you probably know him from Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I probably do.
Quite possibly, yeah. And also, Love Boat and things like that. He's been in
everything. He's done it, you know. He's done everything.
I think also he's in a fair few films, like the...
Yes, definitely. He's got one of them faces. I'm just trying to remember who the actor was.
Yeah.
Brian Keith was the actor. Yeah. Doesn't ring any bells.
No, I know. That's the thing. You know, his name means nothing, but his face absolutely nailed on. But so we've got everybody in there just looks so bloody miserable.
There's one waitress.
Yeah.
And there's a woman playing the piano on stage.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's him behind the bar.
Yeah, because there's a guy
took him on.
Yeah, the guy who took him on says there's a vest behind there. Yeah. And, you know, that's it. That's your uniform.
It's $75 a week. And you do as many shifts as you're needed for.
Yeah.
And then so he starts straight away, doesn't he? And he's got this sort of like his
because the guy who hires him says this is Monica on the piano. Yeah. I can't remember the waitress name. I thought she was going to be a bit bigger than she was. She had no part at all.
I thought she was going to come into this somehow, but
literally, no.
She passes a couple of messages and that's it.
That's it. She's done.
So the woman on the piano is playing...
Monica.
Yeah, is playing really, really grim.
You're not livening up this place, love.
Worse than lift music.
Yeah.
And it's really slow and it's plonky and things. And you're thinking, well, you know, this isn't a sort of a drinking establishment that I would like to frequent. And you look around and there's a few couples at tables, but there's nothing really going on. And there's one bloke at the counter who is, as you said, Brian Keith, the actor.
Yeah.
And he's got like a jacket and he's got the cowboy hat and things like this.
And he says to Kimball, who's what's his name, James Lincoln. He goes lovely, isn't she? Buy her a drink from me, and she's just shaking her head, she don't want a drink.
He says I'll get her a drink, and she's looking across and she's sort of like shaking her head, and he says, oh, she doesn't want a drink.
You have one. He goes, well, I've made it a rule never to drink and work while I'm working. Yeah,
that's right. And you give her a drink because she'll take it if it's from you.
Yeah, she'll take it from you. Yeah.
So, long and short of it,
no one wants a drink.
No one wants a drink.
He then leaves.
Nobody that's in there wants a drink.
He leaves and then she goes, she sort of whispers over to him. It's just, get me a drink.
Plays beautifully, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Lovely, too, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say she was lovely?
Very.
Well, now, how can you tell? You just glanced at her. You got to look at her, Jim. Hey, Jim. Got some soda. Give her one, too.
She isn't drinking.
Maybe she would if you bought it, huh? I'll pay for it.
She doesn't want a drink.
You have one.
I make it a rule never to drink when I'm working.
That's a real dandy rule. You make that up all by yourself?
Jim. About now, I usually have a so-called meal from our so-called kitchen. You want something?
No, thanks. You know that fella back there?
No, why?
He's working pretty hard to make trouble.
Jim, for the price of a drink, he can buy an audience. On Monday morning, he'll have to face whatever's bothering him. But this is Friday night.
And yeah. He goes, what? She goes, anything. And I've got...
Yeah.
Tires are coming up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely would be a
rare old taste of Mountain Dew.
So and he goes, "Who's the fella?"
Yes, I don't want to burden you with my problems. I don't want to cause you any aggravation.
Yeah, she's and a little she bit immediately distressed does. By him. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, and she immediately does, and
it must be later on, and. There's a kerfuffle outside, isn't there, in the car park?
Yes.
Cowboy's giving this woman, Monica, a very hard slap.
Yeah, basically, it looks like they're arguing, but he's got her pinned against the car, and then he leans back and he slaps her around the face, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So Kimball goes, Lincoln goes across
and
pushes him off.
And gives him a good right-hander.
Yeah, he gives him a right-hander. And mate, he goes flying, doesn't he? And he goes up to the woman, making sure that she's okay.
Yeah.
And then the cowboy fella sort of like jumps in his car and drives at him a bit, doesn't he?
Yeah.
As he's leaving. But they sort of like lean back out of the way and he's gone.
Yeah.
He does no more than go home with her.
Yeah. Act two. Yeah.
So he goes back to her place.
Yep.
And then he gets the whole story, which is basically
because she lets the babysitter go home, and and the babysitter gives her an odd glance because she's got a huge bruise on her face. But then she goes, and then she lays the whole story. It says, "Here's my backstory."
Get comfortable. So that the bloke that hit her was her husband. And he's like a big
rich
money.
Guy. Yeah,
he's land big owner. Money and he's a big industrial. He's got a factory and things like this. And he knows everybody and he's well in with everybody. Police, everything. So it's just she's been trying to hide. He's obviously found her.
Yes.
When I asked you not to call the police, I had a very good reason. That man is my husband. You want to leave now, or you want to stick around and hear the story of my life? We live in Phoenix. We lived in Phoenix. About a month ago, I couldn't stand it any longer, so I took Mark and came here and got a job doing the only thing I've ever really been trained for, playing the piano.
But not in the bar. What was it you couldn't stand?
His suspicions. I wouldn't mind it if he had a reason to be jealous, but he was simply insanely suspicious.
And he just keeps badgering her, so they'll have to do it. So, like, they'll have to move on or whatever.
She's Monica Wells, and he's Edward Mells. Yeah. That's the husband.
Yes. That's right. And they've got a son together.
Yes.
Mark. However, he's convinced, the cowboy fella is convinced
Yes.
That he's not his.
Yes, because he went to where
Korea.
Is it? Korea, that's it. And
yeah.
she was pregnant, and she said she was so excited she ran and told. She had to run told. No, she didn't run and tell him. That's a long run. She posted the letter. She ran all the way to post him the letter to. So he could, but then he becomes suspicious almost right away.
Yeah, she said he was bad before because she said when they got together, everything was lovely, everything was great, things like this. Then she got pregnant, they got married, and then he was drafted, he went to Korea.
Yeah.
And he was quite suspicious and really getting a bit possessive and everything before then. But when he came back, he was much, much worse.
Yes.
And
violent. I mean, very violent.
But she put up with it for a bit. But then she's just had enough.
She won't go to the police or anything because he owns them, more or less, is what
that's
she said.
She said, you know, he's been spoken to a couple of times because she's been to the police, but that's all that ever happens. And it's worse afterwards, so she just doesn't do it anymore.
Yeah. Then, Mark enters.
He says,
"Oh, she goes. You should be in bed. I heard you talking," and introduces Lincoln.
and that's right. Jim Lincoln,
and she says, "Oh, Mark goes off again," and she says, "I'm sorry. He's just not very friendly. He doesn't trust anyone anymore now, and that type of stuff." And she's and he says, "I'd like to." And Jim's in there. He says, "I'd like to see you again. How about Saturday?" And she goes, "Oh, I'm going to Wonderland."
That's right.
Michael's invited us over. Especially Mark. He wants Mark there for some reason. Really keen to get him over there.
Strange that. But they arranged to go. But then...
he goes back to his hotel room.
Yeah, and he goes back to his hotel room.
There's a knock at the door. Knock, 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 knock.
Yeah.
And it is...
Ed, the local police.
No, it's Ed Wells. It's our husband.
That's right, yes.
And he pulls out a gun, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But then he hands it to Kimball. Yeah. He says, "Take a look at this. Look at the workmanship on that."
just trying to prove how much of a big shot he is and how much of a mistake he's making and things like this. You know, basically, it's a bully.
Yes.
And he shows him this gun and says, "Oh, it was all handmade for me," things like this. He said, "I know everybody. I know all the police. I know everybody who's anybody.
Yeah, wherever she goes, I will find her. There's nowhere she can go that I won't."
No.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
And Kimball says to him, "Get yourself some help. Get yourself to a psychiatrist or something."
Yeah.
This does not help the situation. No. He goes off in one. He says, "I know I didn't like you."
That's right, because he said that before he left the bar the first time, didn't he? He just looked at him and he just said,
"Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Jim, I don't like you. Yeah, I don't like you." But then he reiterates it again here.
Yes. And his suggestion is that you better leave.
That's right. So he gets rid of him.
Yeah.
Cool. That's not going to do you a bit of good trying to help her, because Monica can go anywhere in this world. She can go anywhere. And I'm going to find her. Sooner or later, I'll be there, see?
For another beating.
As long as she behaves herself. Now, you know what I mean.
Well, stop torturing that woman and child. Get yourself some help. See a psychiatrist.
You just said the wrong thing. You said exactly the wrong thing. And you said it, and I heard it, and there's nothing left for you to do but get out of my sight, Steve. About a million miles out.
Wonderland next.
Wonderland, we're at Wonderland. And he tells Monica about this. And she goes, "Well, you can go to the police because he threatened you with a gun." And he goes, "I can't."
No. So, he he's on going on rides with Mark, isn't he? He's, yes. Like he's on the carousel and things.
Yeah.
And they seem to be warming to each other a little bit. In that Mark seems to be.
Yeah. And Mark says, look, I know you want to go and chat to my mum. I'm going to go into the batting cage for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's what. So he does. And as he's doing that, this is when he explains that he can't go to the police.
Yeah.
Because he's a wanted man. He's on the run.
Yeah.
That's not his real name. But he's on the run. He said, basically, somebody killed my wife. I got blamed for it.
Yep.
And I got found guilty.
Yeah.
And there was a train crash. I escaped. So I can't be found. So she swallows this and says, oh, that's fine. Yeah,
I've got, I don't know why. Even the clowns are in suits. Yeah. Everyone's wearing a suit. Everyone looks very smart.
Yeah. Alice in Wonderland. But it's...
And Kimball goes to, there's nothing we can do. It's just a matter of a waiting game now.
Yeah. That's right, because he goes on a couple of... Goes on a couple of things, and then Mark's in the batting cage.
Yes, and he wins a bobblehead.
Yeah, he wins a bobblehead thing.
And he gives it to Jim.
Yeah, because he says, oh, I used to play baseball.
Yeah.
I used to be, you know. He said, and maybe sometime we can sort of like practice or whatever.
Yeah,
And he just says, he gives him the bobblehead thing, doesn't he? He says,
it's childish.
Yeah, it's kid stuff.
I don't want this, And as they leave, you can see old husband behind them watching them. Yeah.
Yeah. So then we go to...
At the bar.
At the bar, yeah.
And her husband's at the bar, of course, as the usual, giving old war stories and saying about his time he served and all this.
Yeah. And
how he says, good night, Jim. Good night, sweetheart.
Yeah, that's right, because he's saying about the psychological warfare, wasn't he?
It
was just, it's sort of like the Koreans, they used to play over loudspeakers so that the Americans could hear about what their wives and girlfriends were doing back at home in American.
Yeah.
An American was reading it out, or at least English.
And he goes, I know they were talking about me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so Jim, Richard, saying to him, saying, look, it says, I know you think you're saying is real, but it's not. You need to speak to somebody. You need to see a psychiatrist. And he's just sort of like, no, that's the wrong thing to say.
Yeah.
You've really annoyed me now, et cetera.
That's it. Yes, he does. And so then it's home time.
Yeah.
And it is. And Jim Richards is walking Monica to the cab, and suddenly the police are there.
Yeah, and they say, right, okay, this lady can get in the cab. You're coming with us.
We'd like a word, Jim.
Yeah.
Is it Jim, isn't it? Jim Lincoln.
Yeah, that's right. So, the cab goes.
Yeah.
And then he's in the back of the police car, isn't he? Yeah. And they're basically giving him the strong arm, aren't they?
Yes,
they're just
trying to break up a marriage, we hear.
Yeah.
Is that the sort of thing you do? Do you like to do that?
Yes. Suits you, sir.
Suits you, sir. Yeah. Suits you.
It's like that, is it?
Richard, Jim, is going, you know, an average man, he's talking to the police, he starts to feel guilty even if he's done nothing wrong. And
it goes a bit psychological, doesn't it?
It's just
explaining sort of like anxiety and stress and things. And then they
said, sorry about that. Here you are, Mr. Lincoln. Here's your hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, it won't be your hotel tomorrow.
Yeah.
You need to leave.
Yeah.
And he
gets out. He starts walking to the hotel. And then they suddenly join him, don't they? They said,
yeah.
Well, we see you. We're sorry about being strong arm and making you feel uncomfortable. We're going to walk you to your room.
Yeah. So then next thing, they're in his room.
Yes.
And he's talking to the lieutenant and the other bloke is basically wrecking the whole flat. Go for it. Just having a look at everything.
Why so many? Why so many newspapers? And he goes, "Well, I was looking for a job."
That's where all the jobs are. The jobs are in the newspapers. You can see the ones I've ringed, ones that I was interested in.
He goes, "Oh, look, a bottle of hair dye." He goes, "Oh, I got up the other day. I noticed a bit of grey, and I was going for a job, so I wanted to look my best."
That's right, yeah. So, but long and short of it is they've got no idea who he is or anything like that.
Just move on.
It's just they've been asked to chase him off.
Yeah.
And they're doing it.
As far as Ed Wells has said, you know, you're breaking up his marriage.
Yeah.
And then later on they said, well, we're not marriage counsellors. What do you care about his marriage?
Either or, lads.
Pick a lane.
Yeah, exactly.
I honest to goodness don't know what's the matter with us.
That's all right, Sergeant. It's an easy mistake.
Of course. But we want to do the right thing.
We'll see you to your room.
Well, you don't really have to...
Mr. Lincoln, we insist.
Fairfield, wouldn't you say that it's about time he unpacked?
Oh, maybe he did. Found he didn't like it here, and now he's getting ready to leave.
Well, I was born here. I'll die here. I like to keep Tucson clean as its air. I welcome visitors. Most of them.
Mr. Lincoln, you usually read every paper?
That's how I found the job.
We've had a complaint against you, Mr. Lincoln.
Complaint?
Mr. Edward Wells, Phoenix, claims you're breaking up his marriage.
His marriage is already broken up. I'm just trying to help his wife and boy. They're afraid of him.
That's not the impression we got from Mr. Wells.
Have you talked to Mrs. Wells?
We're not in the marriage counseling business. Nor are you.
I'll tell you this, unless that man has helped you, might pay a very high price to find out just how dangerous he really is.
He claims Mr. Wells is dangerous, Fairfield. What have you got there?
Hair dye. You use this stuff?
Last month I saw a little gray. I thought it wouldn't exactly help in finding work.
Does a good job. I don't see a single gray. Maybe worries a lot.
Could be diet. I read where a man can get gray from certain foods. Are you eating right, Mr. Lincoln?
So then, once that's...
He knows he's got to go, isn't he? Richard Kimball is on the run. He's got to go. So he goes to Monica's house. And he tells her all about this and about, you know, he's a convicted murderer and he killed his wife, but he didn't kill his wife and he convicted him.
Yeah.
And they've got to go, they've got to leave. He goes, you won't be safe with me because I've got to, they're searching for me. And
But he said, I'll take you to we'll go wherever you want to go and then I'll leave you at the bus stop and go on myself somewhere else.
Yes.
Then
they kiss.
They do. They do kiss.
Oh, she's fallen for him.
Yeah.
Must be his black hair.
It must be his luscious black locks.
Now, Wells, the husband, he goes to the police station to fake them because he said he rang the hotel when he hears that Jim Lincoln has checked out.
Yeah.
He goes, well done. So, thanks for that, boys. You know.
Yeah. He says, there must be something I can do for you. And they say, and the lieutenant's a bit frosty about it, isn't he? He says, we take no bribes. And he gets a bit touchy, doesn't he?
He does.
He says, you know, no, it's not like that. Not
and the
like
sergeant has to sort of step in and call it out a bit. And says, no.
Yeah.
And I like it where is it the lieutenant is walking up and down, and you can see Richard Kimball wanted poster behind him. Not noticed it.
He did look familiar. I can't think why, but he looked familiar.
I've never seen that face before.
Now,
Wells is all happy, and he goes out. He thinks he's going to go to Monica's place, and you know, but she's gone. There's no answer there at the door.
No, answer at the door at all.
No.
So then he's driving around, and then we're back to the bus station. And they're still standing there waiting for their bus or whatever.
There's a couple of coppers in there, isn't there? I couldn't look out if they're police or military or something, but because the uniforms are weird. But
yes,
they could have been transport police or something, for all I know. Yeah.
I think because this was the time of like Vietnam and things like that, I think they were military police because obviously Greyhound buses and things like that used to be all of the hubs. They used to, if you were a deserter or running away from the troops, of course, that's things like that.
You'd so end up anybody, at the station,
Any blokes between the age of like,
yeah,
I think over there it was 17, wasn't it? 17, 18?
Yeah.
And 35, you had to have your papers with you and an explanation why you weren't.
Yeah.
So it could well have been that.
Could have been. And Jim Richard goes to the clerk guy. He says, "Oh, I need a bus." He goes,
"Yeah.
How much and when?" He goes, "Well, it depends where you want to go." He goes, "Doesn't matter. Just the next one out of here will do."
Yeah. Next one out will do. Yeah. So then
they go to get on the bus, but the time Wells shows up and he grabs the clerk and he says, "Man, woman, boy, wait." Yeah. He goes, just that. It's gone.
They're going, is it Detroit they're going to?
I think so.
Yeah, they're going to Detroit. So anyway, next thing you know, he's over by their bus, isn't he? And he's kicking off a little bit.
Yeah.
And Jim tries to placate him and that.
Yeah.
But he's not having it and he pulls his gun out.
And there's a scuffle. And
there's a bit of a scuffle and there's a shot, isn't there?
There's a shot in the air.
And that catches the attention of the military police.
Yeah, he sort of throws the gun out of his hand onto the ground, but then Wells grabs the gun and aims it just at Richard to Jim. And he's going to shoot, and you think, oh. But then the police come for him and say, "Hold it." And for some unknown reason, he shoots at them.
That's right, yeah. I mean, whether it's PTSD or just
I think
bully boy, sort
it's
of like
definitely
thing,
got
you know,
some mental
it's
issues.
A stress, definitely some mental issues going on there, and it's sort of like stress induced or whatever. Yeah, and he thinks he's back in Korea, whatever, some stress, you know, situation in the past, and he feels threatened from that side, so he starts shooting at that side.
And they of course return fire. Yeah,
they return fire, and they're active military, and they don't miss.
No, he misses.
So literally, he gets hit with at least one. I think it's just one to the chest.
I think it is
whatever,
one.
But
but
anyway, he sort of goes over the rail thing, doesn't he?
He does.
It's apparent that he's dead.
Yeah.
And then we cut back then to Jim.
Yeah.
And Maria.
Yes. Monica.
And Monica.
Yeah.
God.
I think it's Monica.
Yeah. And a little bit of Monica.
I was thinking that.
I see you go. When I started talking names, it's he says, you know, I need to leave.
I've got to go now.
You'll be okay.
You can go home now. Yeah, you can go home now.
He's not going to hurt you or anything like that. And then, but I'm thinking, the kid's there. He's just seen his dad shot dead.
Yeah, that's all right.
Not bothered.
He'd get another one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're going to be my dad now, then.
Yeah. The bus driver. No,
says. Yeah. That's the thing, you know, it's just so like, yeah, I know the 60s, I know it's bad now, but in the 60s, anybody being shot in the thing would have been a massive thing.
Yeah.
A big thing.
Yeah.
But as it is, you know, he sort of like sneaks off, doesn't he? And then
almost want to play the Hulk music, you know, the sad one at the end.
The Hulk, Kung Fu, all of that. Exactly the same.
He walks off into the mist, misty night, and it's gone.
Yep. That's it, he's gone.
Now we get a funeral for Ed Wells.
Yep.
And Lieutenant Gravel. Is it Gravel? Not Gravel. Gerard.
No.
Gerard. Yeah. Gerard's there, isn't he?
Yes.
And he's talking to Monica and says, "Now, where did he say where he was going next?"
Yeah.
He goes,
she says, "No."
No. And she goes, "I don't care. It doesn't matter." Because he knows there's one person who believes he's innocent. Me.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Exactly. If I did believe know, him. I wouldn't tell you. Yeah.
I'm sorry about the circumstances.
Who are you?
Mrs. Wells, where did James Lincoln tell you he was going?
You're Lieutenant Gerard, the Tucson policeman.
They recognized him, unfortunately, after the fact. Well, he told you about me. Excellent. He thinks of me as much as I think of him.
He's innocent.
The law says guilty.
The law isn't perfect. Wherever he is now, he knows I believe him. I always will.
Now, 6 months, 2 weeks, and another 1,000 miles, a fugitive. This is Richard Kimball, and this is how it is with him.
That's it.
Yeah. And we get a combat 6 weeks, 6 months, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's been on the run. So, yeah. Okay.
I know, okay. Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, it ran for 120 episodes and it was, I remember it being really, really successful. As I say, I remember watching it.
It was massive viewing figures.
Didn't watch it then.
I think.
But.
In America,
70s, I think it was rerun.
Season 3 or 4 were maybe not as big as it had been, and they said after season 4 we're cancelling it. It's done.
Yeah.
And one of the guys behind it said, "Well, we need an end episode. We need a final." Yeah. He goes, "No, people don't care. People don't care about it. People just watch it. It's just on. You know, if we don't give them an end, they won't care." So he went to the advertisers and said, "Look, can I have some money to make this last episode, to make the final one?" And they said, "Yeah, sure." And it was huge ratings.
Yeah.
It's got over 73% of the audience figures just watched the end because people wanted to see the end.
Massive, incredible. Yeah. It's, you know, when you're talking for America, that is a huge audience.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure if it still is, but I know that for the longest time,
MASH.
The most viewed thing in the world was the final episode of MASH.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I don't know if it's still the case or not, but
I don't know if it's still the case. But when you consider then, every house had a TV, and almost every house was watching the last episode of MASH.
Yeah, but anyways, it's a massive ratings win.
Yeah,
I mean, that's vindication. He says people cared. People wanted to know the end. They wanted to know. Yeah. This one of our man got caught, you know.
Exactly, but that's the thing. Even if you didn't particularly care, you want to know.
Yeah. And he was saying the executives thought so little of their audience. They didn't care about giving them an ending. You know?
No. No. That's it. Well, yeah.
It hasn't changed much, has it?
No, not in the slightest. But no, as I said, I like you said at the beginning, yeah. This was well made.
Yes.
There were some glaring bits in it that really...
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking it must have been so easier back then if you wanted to change your identity. You just think, I'm Dave now. That would be it.
But also the thing is, it does seem weird because it is 50-odd years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say it was 50 years ago, there was absolutely no internet.
No.
The internet was still 20 years away, minimum. Yeah. 30 years if you're talking about everybody having access to it.
Yeah. Newspapers were irrelevant.
Yeah. But also the thing is, phones. There were pay phones.
Yeah.
Not many people had a household phone. There was no So, like, TV was huge, but the thing is, I don't think that, you know, apart from the news, there will have been nothing on about escaped prisoners, this, that, and the other.
No.
So,
Shaw Taylor coming, have you seen this man?
Yeah. And it would appear, certainly in certain parts of America, it's still like it.
Yeah.
In the
people still in America have AOL.
Yeah, I know. Christ. Yeah. And they can't use the phone and internet same time. At the same time. Yeah.
They're still making loads of money.
Well, why?
As we look at some of America as some vast places that's just cut off from everything, really. They're just so far away.
But that's the thing. I mean, I think I was reading the thing. Obviously, last year I was reading more about America and that, but I was reading the thing that was saying that something like 85% of Americans have never had a passport.
Yeah.
Because America is such a big, big place that all speak the same language.
Yeah. I hope it's changing now, but a lot of Americans don't get holidays. Or only get a certain amount of holidays, and if they're sick, they have to use the holiday days to cover them.
Yeah, that's right. But the thing, you know, and it's why they did, you know, they think nothing of driving 4 hours to go to dinner.
Yeah, that's what you do.
I know, but the thing, me, I get annoyed if I have to drive more than 20 minutes to go to dinner.
Yeah. But hungry now. Exactly, food.
Exactly. But the road system, although, you know, for sort of their 50 mile an hour speed limit, which has been enforced since Christ knows when, but then the cars back then at 55 mile an hour was probably as
good as they were going to get.
You wouldn't want to do shake much more. It's, you know, you look at them, this is, it's like the car in this one that he drives. The suspension on it is so soft.
Isn't it? I was looking at that.
He got out of it. Yeah. He got out of it, went into his hotel or her house and things like that. He came out and it was still wobbling. the sort of like the vacations tended to be, they would think nothing of driving 15 hours to camp somewhere for a couple of days and then come back. And you can drive that distance and it is like you're in a different country.
Yeah, but it only cost $1 for the gas, though, didn't it? So,
really, really cheap. It's still, they complain about the price of petrol and everything at the moment, but it's, so we're paying whatever it is per litre. They're paying that per gallon.
Yeah.
But then again, they produce a lot of it as well. They've got massive sort of oil reserves.
That's right.
They are using it up, but under Alaska and all over like the West Coast, isn't it? They've got they have those what's it called, nodding donkey things, don't they? The oil pumps. Getting back to the program, I remember it well. I must have watched a rerun or my parents used to watch it.
I'm sure they've put it on a Sunday afternoon or something. It's just that sort of show, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Season 4 was in colour. All the rest of the season was black and white.
I remember some of it being in colour. Yeah, but I did as well. Black and white ones.
Yeah.
But I didn't know whether I was misremembering it because...
Yeah, you don't know, do you? It's your...
No. Brain. I mean, even sort of like season 4, that's got to be obviously 67 or whatever it was. I still think that's pretty early for colour.
Yeah, yeah. So it did win an Emmy, this programme, so yeah.
Yeah, good.
That's good.
Well, as I say, I'm not surprised because it was good.
Yeah, it didn't win three like Barbara Bain. Three consecutive Emmys. Well, Barry Morse was in this as well. He was in Space 99. So it's all connected.
That's it. Yeah, 6 degrees of separation.
It was based on Les Miserables. Les Miserables. Yeah.
Les Miserables. Yeah.
That's where the idea came for the guy.
That's it. But it's, he's no Jean Valjean.
But so you've got the policeman who's, I mean, in Les Miserables, it's prison guard who's like, he's always after him.
As I said, I remember it, and I remember watching it and not thinking it was rubbish.
Yeah, no.
And when I've watched this again, yeah, there were glaring things in it that irritated me, but nothing major. And it was, you know, it was good. It went, you know, it went along at a bit of a pace. And being as this is the one that sets everything up,
yeah,
it did it really well, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of programs that copied this once. This was like the original format of how this sort of thing works. Yeah. And then all the other shows jumped on and said, oh, that's good. Well, for narration, we can do that. Go from town to town, that's a good idea.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. When you think of all the programmes that this probably spawned, and, you know, we'll have watched some of them.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely. But, I mean, it's like detective programmes that this has probably spawned. I mean, I think, well, certainly Harry O was it's quite different.
Yeah.
But again, that was David Janssen. But I remember him being in so many things. When I've looked through his IMDb, obviously he died young.
Very young. I think 48.
Yeah, something like that. It wasn't. Yeah. I do get the impression, and whenever you hear people, sort of like, when you see things written about, he was quite a drinker.
Yeah, well, he did this.
Very, very hard.
Drinking smoke is something they did.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think who it was he lived with. He lived with somebody for a while, didn't he?
His mother?
No. it was a really famous English actor. I'm trying to think. It wasn't. I don't think it was Peter O'Toole or anyone like that. But it,
right. Someone of that ilk.
that caliber.
Yeah.
And they were absolutely devastated when he died because they were supposed to be meeting him for dinner the day after or something like that. He said, you know, when he heard that he'd died, he sort of like, he just sat on the doorstep of wherever it was he was going for about 4 hours.
Yeah.
Just couldn't move. But, it's... From what I read, some stuff about him, as you do.
Yeah.
And it was saying that he was basically... I can't remember. I think his dad was military or something, so they moved around a bit. All but right. Eventually, he got really enthused by the idea of acting, so he went to the studios, and they all turned him down because of his funny hairline and his big ears. But then, eventually, they saw him, you know, he got a contract with the studios where it was just one of those rolling contract sort of things, so you get 6 months or whatever, but you're working every day, every night, wherever they need you, you're there.
Yeah, he says rumours are that the drugs were involved, and he just really said he just worked himself to death. He was just
to keep going, I suppose. He wouldn't refuse a job, which obviously means that your sort of like your quality might be diluted, but at least you're sort of like you're constant.
One of the steals I saw about of other episodes, I mean, there's so many, 120, it's quite a lot. Is William Shatner was in one.
I know. I was looking through people that have been in it, and there was some really... David Hasselhoff was in one.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford was in one.
Yeah.
Who else was in one? I think... do you remember John Boy out of the Waltons?
Yes, of course, yes.
And I can't remember his name.
No, Richard I can't. Something.
Richard something, is it?
Yeah, he was in... The TV series of it, wasn't he?
But he was in one as well. But he also, on the back of this, he got a program of his. He was a pastor or something like that, running a weird church sort of thing, and he got that job off the back of this. I'm trying to think, but it was quality viewing.
It was quality viewing. Out of the 10, what should you score this?
I'd probably lean towards 7.
Seven's good
Yeah.
number?
Yeah. because it wasn't brilliant, but it was it was good, and it was the quality was good, the picture quality and everything was good. Yeah. The story was
a little bit weak. Yeah,
it was, and also the thing, you know, obviously the bar and everything they put it in. Christ, that place wouldn't be open for a week because nobody would go back. But but once you'd got the initial setup that we got from the unaired pilot,
yeah,
I think it made the rest of it click a bit more.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going at 7 as well because I wasn't bored watching this. Acting was good. Quality was fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the cast in it were good.
Yeah.
When you think that the three main people in it were sort of people that we know from loads of other stuff.
There wasn't loads of people in it either. I thought there'd be, you know, that.
No, there was only about, there's probably about 7 or 8 cast, wasn't there? You know, aside from the extras, there was about 7 or 8 because there was the Gerard.
Yeah.
Kimball. The protagonist.
Yes.
Whatever his name is. Yes. But there was probably about 7 or 8 main characters, and the rest of it was just extras.
And just a few. There was like the police captain, there was the other waitress, there was the two coppers. But
yeah, it's like the guy who ran the bar who gave him the job.
Yeah, he had like 2 lines.
He had about 3 lines. Because he had the initial thing where he took him on and said, "There's a vest down there."
Yeah.
And told him, $75 a week. And then there was a little bit later where he had the first interaction with her husband, which was he called him over and he said, "It's about this time that I had my so-called lunch from our so-called kitchen. Do you want anything?"
Yes, that's it, yeah.
Because he gets a bit loud then, doesn't he? He starts shouting for a drink and things. No, it was good to watch. It was good to refresh this.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I'd ever seen this particular episode. I can't remember
ever seeing this episode, but obviously I could probably misremember it because you've seen the same thing on the film.
Yes, yeah, that is it, yeah. If you get, is this the film or is it?
Yeah, yeah.
And the film, they show a lot more.
Yeah, obviously it's made a lot later, but it's, it was this was good.
Yeah.
Even as a standalone, it was it was not brilliant, but for you knew how everything stood. At the end of this episode, if you continued watching, you would know who the main characters are.
Yes, that's it.
So that's which is what it's supposed to do.
It did its job.
It certainly did. It did what it said in the tin.
Yes, that's it. Oh, amount of Amazon reviews I've heard that have said that it does what it says on the tin.
Yeah.
It's not in a tin.
No, it's not in a tin.
It's headphones. They're not in tins.
No, that's right. It's not. It was Ron Seal, wasn't it? It's not Ron Seal. But no, it was good. It's good.
Okay, yeah. And on to something for the 366th episode.
Yeah, something completely different.
Hoping double deckers, but we're never sure. I don't think it will be because.